Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. This is Shekinah, an encounter with God's love, power, and wisdom. And you're about to listen to Apostle Philip Cephas of Shekinah Network International. Stay tuned, because your life will be transformed by the words that you will hear.
When you come to him, Emmanuel, Emmanuel, thy word is calling your name, Emmanuel. When you come again, Emmanuel, Help us this evening. Strengthen our feebleness. Empower us. Do to us that which no man can do. We come before you as weak men needing your help. My Redeemer, walk with me. My Redeemer, walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Redeemer, walk with me. My Redeemer, walk with me. My Redeemer, walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Redeemer, walk with me.
my Savior,
walk with me.
My
Savior, walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Savior, walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Redeemer, walk with me. One more time. My Redeemer, walk with me. My Redeemer, walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Redeemer, walk with me. My Savior, walk with me. My Savior, walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Savior, walk with me. Walk with me. Walk with me. I am nothing without your presence. My Redeemer, walk with me.
Thank you, Jesus. Can you pray in 1 minute and ask the Lord to help you? There is little or none sufficient enough a man can do. Men don't help men in this journey. It only takes God to help a man. God used men. It's true. But the men themselves are not the factor. God is the factor. And anytime a man cannot point you to God, it becomes a challenge. Far beyond the euphoria of what we do, are you seeing God in the midst of everything? The best of us still need help. The best of us still need help. That means that no man can help you. Mortality is a challenge. Mortality has always been a challenge. We need the strength of divinity. We need the strength of divinity. Men may be custodians. Men can be guardians. Men can be carriers of God, but in themselves they are insufficient. It will require God to administer help to a man. Pray and ask the Lord to help you. There is nothing this program can do if you are not helped by God. Pray that far beyond the microphone, far beyond what I will speak, you can hear a voice that can enable and empower you beyond me. Pray. Shababella Nakas, Lababes, Maria Tuba, build intimacy with you. Help me build intimacy. Build intimacy. Build intimacy with you.
Help me build intimacy. Build intimacy. Build intimacy with you. Cause you are my lover. My lover. My lover. Holy Ghost, my lover. Cause you are my lover. My lover. My lover.
Holy Ghost, my lover.
Oh, help me build intimacy. Build intimacy. Build intimacy with you. Help me build intimacy. Build intimacy. Build intimacy with you. Cause you are my lover. My lover. My lover. Holy Ghost, my lover. Cause you are my lover. My lover. Build intimacy, build intimacy with you. Help me build intimacy, build intimacy with you. Because you are my lover, my lover, my lover. Holy Ghost, my lover. Because you are my lover. My lover, Holy Ghost, help me build intimacy, build intimacy, build intimacy with you. Help me build intimacy, build intimacy with you. Because you are my lover.
My lover, you are my lover. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pray some more. Cry unto God that He can help you. Feel Himself as is limited. The whole of Shekinah is limited. Every church is limited. All of them may be a system, but God is a factor. God is a factor. If He's not here, we are wasting our time. If Jesus is not here, we are wasting our time. Then we gather in vain. If He cannot come, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of resources. Not in the church until He comes.
We go to you tonight.
Generation that is rising, a generation that is not too careful with their life, a generation that are willing to permit God to
generation that is willing to be wasted for God. It will never be in our day and time that God is looking for men to use, and we are available and yet we are useless. It will never be in my time that God will have to cry. It will never, never be in my time that the kingdom of darkness prosper. No. I refuse to be an agent of the devil. I refuse to be an agent of the devil. I refuse to be one upon what the devil will walk upon. I choose to be an envoy of God. I choose to be an envoy of God. I choose to be a carrier of the presence. I choose to be a man of the glory. Your life is useless without God. Your life is useless without God. Your life will be wasted without God. An army rise far beyond the shores of this nation. An army rise. God is calling for the people for himself. God is recruiting the people for himself. They are not qualified, but he's qualifying them. They are not empowered, but he's empowering them. It doesn't matter how they are. It doesn't matter their situation. The Bible said these men were indebted. These men were downcasted. These men were broken. But out of them, David made mighty men. Mighty men will rise. Mighty women will rise. Kingdom warriors will march again. Eshkapo. Advantage. A lady possessed has strength. She don't need to understand. The understanding lies in the spirit being. I am nothing without God, but so long as I am there, I am everything. If God is with you, you are everything. What do you know? I don't know anything, but I know God. I don't want to know anything, I want to know God. A strange anointing here, a strange presence, and I saw beings carrying jar of oil. I saw them with ointment. They want to ordain men. They want to empower you. Oh God, it's an experience. The tangibility of the presence of God is here. I don't know what's your challenge. I don't know what's your problem. Nothing stands before the presence of God. The talent is for God to be there. If he is there, that problem go away. It's a darkness, but I see light shining out of darkness. Hi.
This, I will not be able to teach again. I came with a burden within my spirit, a heavy burden lying in my heart, because recently there was a vacancy open to recruit new men and women that would bear relevance. But you see, many are not willing to apply, many are busy. And my challenge is, in the next 6 years to the next 10 years, a cycle will come when new apostolic and prophetic voices that will be giving relevance will come. They are yet not prepared. After every 10 years, from 7 years to the next 10 years, new voices are released. It's not what you compete for. No, you discern by wisdom and you apply. You don't need to be qualified. Go. As you are being schooled in the spirit, you'll be equipped for that functioning. But sometimes you can be so distracted and you will not know when they will advertise for an admission. Soldiers don't recruit all the time. There is a time where they advertise. If you miss that time, you have to wait for another season. A generation is about to be wasted. They have given themselves to a distraction. And God is beckoning upon them. The problem is that the work will be too lacking upon the present voices. But if we can find that one man, that one woman, the nations will beckon. The nations will cry. And in every region, God must find a remnant. If God does not find a remnant, He will send messengers to the intent that they activate the remnant. God forbid that your life, your family, your religion is waiting for an itinerary preacher, and you are in the land, and yet again the land can't feel your impact. God forbid. Not in our time. After your seat, let me educate you in doctrine. Let me see if I can manage 30 minutes, then we pray again. Bring you greetings from heaven. I know many of you have dwelt there. I also bring you greetings from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Us all. I
I want to appreciate each and every one for taking out time to be here again in Shekinah. Please give the Lord a shout if you are here, please. Shekinah, give the Lord a shout. If you are excited to be here, give the Lord a shout. Please help me appreciate the choir. They did so much. Thank you so much. And every other department, thank you so, so much. Help me appreciate all the ministers. So many of them came around, my beloved friends. Let me appreciate my biological parent, my mom and dad. My dad just came in now. Thank you so much. By me here, my friend is here. Evangelist Victor Gugu is around. The one that ministered my flesh must die is here. Minister Ifeanyi, all the way from Abuja. I told you, singing my flesh must die. Our flesh needs to die. Eh? I don't know what we're going to do, but you must still have to sing that song. Also, Daniel is around. My Apostle Daniel, all the way from Zaria, is around. My cousin brother, Apostle Righteous, is around. Prophet Adams is around. He's Intimacy Network president. My beloved friend, Apostle Jonathan Akwanza, is also around. Minister Joseph just came in. All the other ministers, thank you so much. Oh, this is Ernest, right? Ernest, thank you so much for coming. Ernest is he runs Engaging God, Experiencing God Network in Abuja. Thank you so much for coming. And his friend, thank you so, so much. Thank you so much. All the head of department, Peter is here, the Wisdom, and everybody, thank you so much for coming. It takes a lot of sacrifice to make this work. Also, help me appreciate Esla and Val, and who all of them have been here since morning doing serious work here. Many of you came and just sat down. As we sit, ensure you are praying. Ask your neighbor, hope you came praying. Ask the neighbor. The last Shekinah I told you I was traveling to Southern Africa. God did marvelous things there. I was at Ethiopia, Addis Ababa. I was at Lusaka, Zambia. Before I came back and I flew into Port Harcourt. I just came back yesterday around 2 a.m. Flight was delayed. When they delay flight, be happy. Because the plane wanted to crash. They tried to fix it. Are you getting it? So don't be angry. It's only late you come. It's okay. It's better than the thing have issue in the sky that you start praying. At least we save our prayer for now. So please, thank you so much for coming. I trust God that within the few moments that we have, I will teach you something very profound. Then we pray again. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. You see, many years ago, God taught me something very profound. Apart from the five fingers of greatness, the things that buy money that God taught me, the next thing that God began to teach me was what I call the challenges of the believers. An average believer in our today's society is challenged with all kinds of things. And you see, these things are generic. And what I mean by them being generic is what affects almost everybody. But you see, a few that understand how these things are, find a way out of them. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. The devil has a strategy. And one of the strategies of the devil is to ensure that he orchestrates a mystery where which you can be trapped. And anytime the devil find a way to lure you into his trap, you may never come out of it. And most of these things are what we refer to as the believers' challenges. There are a few of them. I will try as much as possible to rush them so that we can take our time to pray. As a people, one of our sole goals is to reveal Jesus Our second goal is to transform life and also be able to impact our society. No amount should be too big to ensure that this is achieved. But nevertheless, this thing is made impossible if men are not being transformed. Anytime you see a man bear relevance in this kingdom, two things are involved. Number one, he labor in doctrine. Doctrine speaks about the body of knowledge required to make the believer sound. The body of knowledge required to ensure that the believer comes to the point where he embraces what we call the mind of Christ. And doctrine are in diversities. No matter how you do, our doctrine may not be the same. Why? Because doctrines are product of revelation. Is that true now? Every church have their doctrine. They may not be wrong in themselves, but all of them are pathways where would they assess the Christ. Is that true? Their approach may be different, but the center focus is Christ himself. And that is why if we focus on what divides us in doctrine, we may never be united. As a people, we must be able to understand that the diversities of doctrine are put in place to ensure that the communication of Christ Jesus is made easy to believers. Is that true? So the way Paul speaks about Jesus is different from the way Peter speaks about Jesus. It's different from the way another apostle speaks about Jesus. That is why you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All of them speak about Jesus, but in different manner. Is that true now? So those are referred to as doctrine. So any believer that must bear relevance must first of all labor in doctrine. Have a body of truth required to make him have the mind of Christ. Then you have to also begin to journey into laboring in prayers. Because a believer that does not labor in doctrine may not be sound. A believer that does not labor in prayer may not come into the realm of reality. A believer that labor only in prayer and do not labor in doctrine has the tendency of being deceived by spirit. Because you see, when you begin to pray, you gain access to the realm of the spirit. In the realm of the spirit, there are diverse spirits. So you need discernment as a tool to guide you. So you need doctrine to guide you through even in the realm of the spirit. Why? Because every realm of the spirit is accessed also by knowledge. Is that true now? So whether you like it or not, Hindus, Buddhism and all kinds of secular religion also have a knowledge that guarantees them to turn into a spirit realm where they function. And that is why we must be careful enough. It's not just about knowing things. No. What you know matters. The center of what you are knowing matters. The center focus is Jesus. So everything we speak and communicate, if it doesn't bring you to an understanding of who Jesus is, there's a challenge. One of the first challenge of a believer of today's society is what I call a genuine fear for God. Go with me to the book of Proverbs 9:10. I will rush this as fast as possible. Bible said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Say, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I don't know how many people today are wise and they don't fear God. According to scripture, they are foolish. I know your lecturer is a professor, but if he does not fear God, according to scripture, the foundation is wrong. He's foolish. The Bible says a fool says in his heart that there is no God. And any knowledge that brings you to a point where you believe that God is not real, it's not longer knowledge, it's foolishness. It's part of the trap of the devil. I have traveled and I've met a lot of people that are atheists. I respect their belief system, but let me tell you the truth. It's what we call a challenge of the believer. And then you'll be so surprising to find many unbelieving believers that do not really believe that God himself is real. They just live their life just because they are born Christians, because they are born from a family that everybody is a Christian. Them too, they believe and live their life like that. One of the number one challenge of every believer is to have a genuine fear for God. That anytime a man begins to fear God, that is when God will begin to reveal who he is to the person. A man that does not fear God will not have a revelation of God. He will have a darkened knowledge of God. And from that darkened knowledge of God, he will believe God does not exist. And sometimes those darkened knowledge are product of their circumstances, their challenges, and all kinds of things. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I don't know if you desire to be wise, but according to scripture,
The first thing a believer need to have is the fear of God. For you to begin to journey into coming to a point where you believe that God is wise in himself, you must fear him first. There are many things that believers do today simply because they don't fear God. If you fear God, there are many things you will never dare. And the word fear there, if you study lexicon a little bit, you understand, is the word Iraq, right? Iraq there does not mean you should be afraid. No, it's a reference. The same way that if the governor of Nasarawa State come here now, some of you will be afraid. We have seen governor, I'm not afraid. But you, by maybe if you have never seen before, you'll be afraid. There's a way if a major general stand here now, some people will start being afraid. That's how it works. It's not as if you are really afraid, but you see, it's fear combined with reference. That fear there is supposed to be a referential fear. Of course, sometimes it's interpreted as terror. But it's a fear that brought you to love. It's a fear that brings you to love, to obedience. The Bible says even Jesus Christ in the day of his flesh, after he has offered all sacrifice, offered all supplication, he was hard in that he feared God. That even Jesus Christ himself did the things he did because he feared God. In his fear for God is obedience, because the Bible says he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Do you really fear God? Many of you don't fear God. You believe you can live your life anyhow and do anything you want to do. That is why you are the way you are. Every believer that must advance in this kingdom is a believer that fear God. See, let me tell you, I fear God. Tell your neighbor, fear God. God know be your mate. Tell him, use broken, tell him. I know say you be big man, but God know be your mate. God not be your mate. You are too small. If God appear here, you'll be afraid. Many of you, if you see an angel, you will be afraid. There are many people that say, cherubim, evil. I have seen cherub, I have seen seraphs, I have seen angels. Anytime you see them, fear catch you. When you see Jesus, what happens is that you die. I have seen Jesus several times. Anytime he appear to me, I die. Fear God. God is not your mate. Every believer that does not fear God, it becomes a challenge. God can't reveal himself to him. The wisdom of God that anybody have today that he walk with is as a revelation of a fear for God. Even the living creatures in heaven, the Bible says, as they look upon, they bow. Why are they bowing? There is a fear they have. Say, Yirak Adonai. God exists in a class all by himself. No mortal man can stand before God and speak anything. Sometimes I feel like if God appear, I will ask him, God, why this? The day he appear, I find myself crying. It's fear. Do you fear God? If you want to advance in this life, you must have a new fear for God. Not that you are afraid of him, no, but you must fear him. The same way there are children that are not afraid, they don't fear their parents, they do anything. Say, your father, you know, go beat you. Say, forget that man. You see, you must understand that God is the God of love. But it's also referred to as Jehovah Sabaoth. You don't want God to come against you. The days that God come against you, you feel as though you are the devil yourself. But if you have a holy fear for God, what happens is that he hides you in a place in him where nothing can touch you. Any believer that must advance in today's society must have a fear for God. There are things you will never do if you fear God. An average believer does not fear God. Don't be part of those average believers. One of the greatest challenges of the believers of today, most of them don't fear God. That's why they live a compromising life. Today you see him a Christian, tomorrow he backslide, he come back a Christian. You are not afraid that if you want to steal this phone, thunder will strike you. And everybody believe you can do anything you want to do because we don't fear God. I always say, you can't take a goat to Babalawo Shrine and come back later and say, give me your goat. Why? You are afraid something will strike you. But it's God that you still shake God and still do anything you want to do. Many of you today are living a carnal life. Why? Because you are not afraid of God. See, let me tell you, sometimes the fear in me, it's not as if I'm afraid of the devil. No, it's God I'm afraid of. I'm afraid that God can wake up one day and say, and kill me. The way he told Moses, come and die. At that time, nobody can negotiate with you again. So anytime we live in holiness and we live in fear, not because of anything, but because we know that we are in a place where sometimes God won't permit his mercy for us. I can pray for God mercy for you, but me, sometimes he may not permit it, so you will punish me. So by the time you begin to advance with God more,
a time come, God impute in you a holy fear for him. Do you fear God? If you truly fear God, you will give time to him. If you truly fear God, you will cry to him. If you truly fear God, there are things you will never want to do. It's not about doing to repent tomorrow. What if you are doing it and you die in the midst of it? A man that doesn't fear God will say, don't worry, I will repent tomorrow. I went and met a guy, give your life to Christ. He said, I want to live all the bad life I want to live. I want to sleep with all the ladies. When I finish, I will steal all the money. When I finish, I will now repent and become a pastor. I say, you don't fear God. And that is why you see, you may not live to see the day that you become a pastor. It's a different thing if you are in ignorance. It's a different thing. But consciously, because an average believer rebel against God willingly. When you don't have the fear of God, you will live your life anyhow. This is the reason why you see pastors sleep around, messed around. They don't fear God. It's not about the microphone. Ministry is not all about pulpits. No. It's your lifestyle. And a man that doesn't fear God will have a compromised lifestyle. Holiness is what we left for deeper life. No, it's for everybody. Live a life of holiness. If you truly fear the Lord, live a life devoted and committed to him. That's the secret to advance. And the Bible further says it's the secret to long life. The next challenge of a believer is a genuine love for God. An average believer don't love God. I will tell you the truth. Go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. I need to be so fast. The book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, but it is written, eyes have not seen nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. A genuine love for God brings a man to a realm where he exists all by himself with God. God, let me tell you, love everybody, but God honor them that love him more. You won't believe what I'm telling you. See, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I don't know about you. Do you truly love Jesus? An average believer doesn't love Jesus. It will shock and surprise you that just because somebody came here and gave his life to Christ, you believe he loved the Lord. He doesn't. Check very well. Their commitment to other things matters more. The reason why you will see going to party as a better option than coming to the house of God is because you don't love God. Forget that you may fear God and be afraid going there and be repenting on the road. But you see, if you truly love God, if you love me, the Bible says, keep my commandment. If you love God, naturally you will be associated to him. When you love someone, what do? Are you not happy to see the person all the time? Are you not always missing the person? Are you not always going to see the person? An average believer does not have a close relationship with God simply because he doesn't love God. The Lord told me many years ago, he said, Philip, if you can love me and love me enough, there is nothing I can't do for you. So forget about the ministry. Let me tell you, before you came here, I have been loving Jesus. You won't come and replace my love for Jesus. It's a lie. Many of us here, our prayer point, Father, give me a car, give me a house. And I know if God give you that one, you keep loving him. Please, do you truly love Jesus or you just want power? You want power, you want money, you want a house. In fact, you want a husband, you want a wife, that's good. You want a child, that's good. But do you love Jesus? Do you really love Jesus? Because if you do not love Jesus, the problem is this: many other things will distract you from this pursuit. Please ask your neighbor, do you truly love Jesus genuinely? I know you are born again, but do you truly love Jesus? In fact, let's say it now. Jesus, I love you. Say it. I can't remember the last time you said this. I know many of you can't remember the last time you truly tell Jesus you love him. Say it again. Jesus, I love you. I know you have told your wife, you have told your girlfriend, you have told your boyfriend. Say, Jesus, I love you. Can you now feel how you start feeling as though? See, let me tell you. You must have a genuine love for God. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come to the heart of any man, the things that God has prepared for those that love him. There are things that God can only reveal to those people that love him. Many years ago, the Lord told me, Philip, love me and love me well. So oftentimes, I don't know about you, I know you are lonely. Me, I can lock myself inside and just stay with God. I may not be praying. Do you know what I'm doing? I just create a room for me to gist with God. You will never understand. Even if I cannot speak in tongues, I keep on saying, Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. It's prayer, you don't know. And so long as I keep telling him I love him, I am recommitting myself to him again. The born again cry you came and did is just telling the Lord you love him. But by the time you keep telling him you love him, it has a way of bonding you more with him the more. Consciously, have a genuine, sincere love for God. Beyond car, beyond house, beyond admission, beyond first class, beyond ministry. So that even if everything fails, you won't give up on God. You will still come back. Why? Because you truly love him. And let me tell you, nobody that genuinely loves God, that God doesn't advance his life, is a lie. Anytime you love someone, you are jealous enough to ensure that everything that concerns the person works. And that is what God does. That's why the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. There are things that God reserves only for those that love him. So one among the challenges of a believer is a genuine love for God. You must love God genuinely. Strive to love God genuinely. Don't just live your life anyhow, loving other people, loving a house, loving a car. Many of you love this one, love a good hair. Love Jesus. Love Jesus. According to the book of Galatians 5:22, he said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Every other thing is out of love. When a man does not love Jesus genuinely, let me tell you the truth, he cannot even represent God. Because you see, only devil doesn't have love. If you truly are of God, then you should have the love of Jesus. If you can deal with this genuinity of love for God, then you will not be part of the average believer. Do you truly love Jesus? That you are here to me, I believe you love Jesus. But let it not be that your other priorities mean more. No, set the priority right. Fear for God, a genuine love for God. Then the next thing, an average believer doesn't pray. You see the reason why your own, you are praying, but yet again, but eventually you don't fear God. That's why you are still praying in disobedience. You are still praying, you are still lying. You are still praying and you are still doing some bad things. If you fear God, you love God genuinely, your prayer become effective. The Bible says the effectual continual prayer of a righteous man. It has to be righteous. It's what availeth much and maketh tremendous power available. But the Bible says the prayer of a sinner is an abomination. The challenge of many believers is that their prayer is an abomination because they don't fear God and they don't love God. So they pray for 40 hours, 50 hours, 70 hours, and yet they are not transformed because their commitment in love for God and fear for God is not there. An average believer doesn't pray. The one that claim they pray in disobedience, or that pray with all kinds of addictions, or that pray as a system of competition. We have prayed, God so kind. My friends are here. I think the maximum we have tried to do here is not 50 hours. We have locked ourselves inside 50 hours to pray. We never try it again. I don't even know why we say we should do that 50 hours prayers. Many of you hear that people, this one did 30 hours, this one did 50 hours. You went and you tried to do it in competition. You see, that's the problem. You will receive your reward on the earth. You'll be known as a man of prayer, and yet again your life is not transformed. You see, many years ago I told you, the Lord appeared to me, told me, Philip Cephas, a man I help is always better than a man that help himself. And my cry now is, Father, how can I be helped? He said, if you can pray, I will help you. So I am praying so that God can help me, not so that I can be known as a man of prayer. Who won that title? Do they give money for that title? No. Your goal in prayer is not that people should know you can pray. No, it's so that you can be transformed. I get what I'm saying now. Because prayer brings you to transformation. But anytime a believer is not praying to be transformed, he's praying so that he can have a name that is praying. It's already a challenge. An average believer doesn't spend genuine time praying. So even the ones that are praying, not praying sincerely and genuinely. Let me tell you, prayer becomes anything if your heart is aligned to God. There is no so much protocol of prayer. When Jesus Christ was asked the question, teach us to pray, as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray, you won't like the answer he gave them. The answer was not speaking in tongues. He said, when you pray, say. Is that not true? Our Father, is that a prayer we pray? No. That means prayer is not really about the tongues. It's about the heart posture. So by the time you look at what Jesus Christ said, it's a protocol. You exalt the Father first, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom. So by the time you begin to see that, you're going to see about 9 protocols that were there. The everything you know about prayer is all speaking in tongues. You see, tongues is part of it. But far beyond tongues came, people have been praying. So how are they praying? I don't know the kind of prayer Elijah prayed that he stopped heavens. But you see, it may not be tongues. It may be a decree, right? But it comes from his heart. An average believer, what we do is competition of tongues, the syllables of tongues. Those things are good. But even Babala was speaking tongues. So what is really then prayer? Prayer is communication with God. So if you are speaking in tongues and yet again your heart is not communing with God, your prayer may not bear relevance. When was the last time when you were praying, there was a communication between you and God? Not just that you are speaking in tongues from your throat and your head. Who told you that prayer is what is done in abstract? No. Your heart posture needs to be there. Jesus told the woman, he said, God seeketh those that can worship the Father in spirit and in truth. One of the greatest challenges of a believer is that he's praying, but his heart is not there. Let me tell you the truth. Prayer is not about the quantity, but the quality. The quality of your prayer matters more than the quantity of your prayer. But you can pray qualitative prayer for quantitative hours, but ensure that quality is in view. And the quality of the prayer is the effectiveness of the communication between you and God and your heart being there. Many of us are praying and you are thinking about coconut, cheese boss, that your girlfriend, that thing. Your heart is not there. So your heart is distracted, although tongues is in your lips. An average believer must understand the protocol of prayer. How? Ensure your heart is engaged. And how do we get your heart engaged? Number one, Romans 8:26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also himself helpeth our infirmity. Of how? Of not being able to pray. He said, for we know not what we should pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which we cannot be able to utter. It then means that truly prayer began the moment you come to the end of yourself. When you can only really pray is when you actually started praying. At that moment when you are tired and you begin to weep and cry from within you, that's when prayer began. Let me tell you, you really begin to pray at that moment where you no longer have an understanding of the tongues you are speaking. If I say, let's start praying now, Shababala Bobaradi Alukabaska, a time is going to come, it will switch. A time will come, the tongues you will speak will not be from your mind, it will be from your heart. It will not be out of your belly that shall flow that rivers of living waters. At that moment where you are no longer conscious of your environment, conscious of anybody, that's when you begin to pray. But many of us, before we reach that point, we have to take like 3 hours so that we can come out of that distraction first. An average believer doesn't spend quality time with God. And that is why part of the challenge of a believer is prayer. We don't pray qualitative prayer, we just pray quantitative prayer. And we don't care so long as we speak in tongues. And do you know you can still be speaking in tongues and still be sleeping with a lady? Do you know that? A woman went to a senator and slept with him. After she's done, she collected the check and she stood up and she said, bala, 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 bala. The man said, what are you saying? She said, I want to check to see whether the Holy Spirit is still with me. The Holy Spirit has left you since. Prayer is not the tongues, it's the quality of the effectiveness of the communication between you and God. And oftentimes, when you don't have a relationship with God, you cannot pray. Prayer is all about relationship with God. And when a man have a relationship with God, anything become prayer. He's weeping, he's crying, he's shouting, he's singing, everything become prayer. The quality of our prayer is what matters. As you leave this place, go with the consciousness of God's presence being around you. Then, anytime you are praying, don't just pray for your mind, pray for your heart. The Bible says the spirit itself helpeth our infirmity. That means you begin to pray in the spirit and not just speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues itself is a product of what the spirit does. Is that not true? Why? Because demons do speak in tongues. Yes. If you have been in deliverance ministry, you must have seen people that speak capital tongues. It's not of the Holy Ghost. The same way that there are realms of power that is not of the Holy Spirit. The next challenge of a believer is alignment. Exodus 33:15. The Bible says, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not hence from here. You must be aligned to God. Alignment with God is currency. Being current with God is what we call alignment. An average believer is not aligned with God. He doesn't know what God is doing now. An average believer lives his life to chance. It's a very dangerous thing to be where God used to be or be where God is not at all. An average believer, the reason why his life has remained the way it is, he might have been in a place where God is not there at all. It's a terrible thing. One of the challenges of a believer is alignment. For him to be able to pinpoint where God is and do what God ought for him to do. That is why the sons of Issachar, one of the pivotal tribes in Israel. Forget about Judah. Judah themselves consulted Issachar. The Bible says, of these ones, the sons of Issachar, it is known of them to have an understanding of times and seasons. And they are the only one that know what Israel, not what they have to do. They know what Israel ought to do. So Israel themselves don't know what to do. They require the sons of Issachar to give them understanding of what they ought to do. An average believer does not know what he ought to do. Sometimes you may even know what you ought to do, but how you do it and when to do it, you don't know. And how to do it, when to do it, is also a product of alignment. And that is why Moses understood this. He said, God, it's not about marching around. We can use compass to know where Canaan is, but Canaan is not walked upon in the physical. Canaan, you journey it in the spirit. It's not about moving to Canaan. Sometimes God can show you the promised land, but you see, he must lead you to the promised land. Our journey with God is not about going, it's about being led. It is Peter, when you were young, you go where you want to go, you do anything you want to do. But now that you are old, somebody will hold you by hand and lead you. Is God leading you, or are you the one leading yourself? Alignment is permitting God to lead you. An average believer is not led by God. And the Bible said, it's only them that are led by the Spirit of God that are the sons of God. If you see any man that is not growing spiritually, check very well. He's the one leading himself. God is not leading him. If God is leading you, he will grow you. Whether it's your ministry, whether it's your business, or anything that concerns you, God must hold you by hand and lead you. If you do it by yourself, there will be a challenge. You need the leadership of the Holy Spirit. You need the wisdom and the intelligence of the Holy Spirit. And that comes by alignment. See, if your presence goes with us, keep us here. That means it's better for us to be here. People will say we are still stagnated. But so long as you are here, it's not stagnation, it's wisdom. Many of you now, your life may look the way it is. Let me tell you, God is the one that has kept you here. When God wants to move you, he can, that's what we call quantum leap. Quantum leap. Normally, people jump from here to here. Quantum leap is when you jump from here to that side. People wonder, how did they reach that side? It's quantum leap. It's only in physics you understand it. I think it's electrons, I mean protons, that when they get excited, they quantum leap to another shell. Normally, they used to be in a shell. But when they get too excited, they leave their shell and look for another location. Alignment is one of the greatest challenges of a believer. If you are not aligned, oftentimes you will not know when a bomb will blast on your head. Why? Because you are where God did not say you should be. The security system of God is where he said you should be. Alignment is structural. Structural alignment means the required knowledge you need at every season. Every knowledge a man has, is relevant at a season. Another season come when you need a new knowledge to advance. Sometimes the knowledge you know now is okay now. When you want to advance beyond here, you need another knowledge. That's how it works. So you must be able to align yourself to another body of truth to go further. Structural alignment is getting the required knowledge for the next season. The same way your textbooks of SS1, you can't use it in SS3. What you need is a required alignment to another body of knowledge, is what we call structural alignment. Apart from structural alignment, there's what we call territorial alignment. There are times, apart from God leading you on a book to read, on a things to read, no, there are times when God takes you to territories. Territorial alignment is God pinpointing locations for you to be at a moment so that you can be given what we call governmental authority. Whether you like it or not, Oyedepo was in Kaduna before. God said, move to Lagos. What is referred to as that is what we call territorial alignment. It's only in the territory of Lagos that you can influence the nation. No man begin from everywhere. You start from a region. That region, territorial, is the government where God gives you. If you don't know the region where God has given you as your jurisdiction, it becomes a problem. That's why even your dreams point you to region. There are some of you here that your destiny, your life will begin to change the day you leave Lafia and go to somewhere. God so kind. I would have still been a drunkard and a smoker if I'm in Lafia. God shipped me territorially to Zaria. Zaria become like a secret place. Zaria become like the cave of Adullam. I don't know what David would have ever been if he remained in his father's house. David need to move to the cave of Adullam. Sometimes that place you call a challenge, it's not a place of challenge. It's a territorial place that God put you strategically to align you so that your life can shift. Joseph need to be in Egypt. It doesn't matter whether he must be sold as a slave. You must go to Egypt. Alignment to God is for Joseph to be in Egypt. Many of you are in Lafia, Federal University in Lafia. You never apply Federal University in Lafia. You don't even know how it happened. You didn't want to come here. But territorially, God knew that he must align you to Federal University in Lafia and be at this moment now. Alignment is also territorial. And the reason why alignment is territorial is because it pertains to your life and destiny. Any believer that cannot discern the territory that God has given him for influence and dominance per time will have a challenge. Some people are surviving in Borno, but if you go to Borno, you must die. Why is God not calling men to Borno? Is God is calling, but many people that God has empowered for Borno refuse to go to Borno. That's not the truth. And that is why they will not prosper where they are. There are people that are in Nigeria, they're not supposed to be in Nigeria, they should go to America. There are some that are in America, they're not supposed to be in America, should come back to Nigeria. They may be white, black, red, yellow, I don't care. The destiny of men is territorial. God has a territory he has given men for dominance and influence. That's how it works. You cannot be struck everywhere, it's a lie. There is a region that God has given you territorially. And one of the wisdom of God is for you to be able to discern by alignment to know where you ought to be territorially. That's how it works. He says, start from Jerusalem. When Jesus Christ was born, he was born in Nazareth. There's a reason. Alignment also have to be positional. Positional alignment speak about shifting locations. Do you realize that there are portals in region? Do you realize that? Sorry, many of you have not heard those kind of language, but it's one of the language in the prophetic. That what we call portals and gates. Gate in the spirit and portals are not human beings. They are human beings, but they are also living entities that stand as realities. They are doorways to other possibilities. So how God does it is this. When God comes into a region, that region is initiated as a gate and as a portal. If an angel walk into a region, if an angel ever walk into your room passing a door here, check very well. Most times he'll be passing through that side. If you used to have encounter at strategic time at night, check very well. There is something about those moments. Those moments are portals and gates. And wise men know when to position themselves aright. There are times when to hear God, you need to go to your bathroom. Do you realize that? Sometimes when you are in your bathroom, when you remove your clothes, you are puffing, you begin to hear songs. You begin to hear God speak to you. There is a reason. That place is a portal. So sometimes you can be in the parlor and God wants to talk to you. Say, position yourself. You shift to the bathroom. Why? It's positional alignment. Alignment is positional. There are times when God will say, Moses, come and meet me in Mount Sinai. He spoke to him in his house, but he said, come to Mount Sinai. Why? There are things he cannot tell him in his house. It has to be at Mount Sinai. It's positional alignment. The same way some of you are in your hostel or you are in from one state and you travel and you came here to Shekinah. Here, being here is positional alignment. And God may encounter you here, or God will encounter you here. And at this moment, according to the ordinances of God, you see, there are times when if you do not transit to a region, you may not be able to encounter God. It means position. Position yourself to have an encounter. Every year we used to climb mountain to go and pray. I used to wonder why do we used to go there. But I realized that anytime we go there, we shift in level. There is something about that mountain. Why do people go to mountain? Why do Jesus Christ climb mountain to pray? Why? Why can't he pray in his own house? It's a positional alignment. He has to position himself, to align himself. Why didn't the Moses and Elijah appear to him where he is? He has to go to yonder. While he began to pray, according to scripture, Moses and Elijah came. Positional alignment is shifting your place, shifting yourself to the place of advantage where the gate and the porters are. The Bible speaks about Samson. He said, anytime Samson passed through the region of Zora and Eshtahor, he will feel a stirring. That stirring is not just stirring, it's the supply of an unction by the Spirit of God. You must be able to know the place of your advantage and always remain there. The Bible speaks about a woman named Deborah, that Deborah stood by the palm tree of Deborah. As long as she's at the palm tree, wisdom and revelation will not be lacking. Sincerely speaking, a believer must understand the place of his advantage. And oftentimes that understanding comes by positional alignment. Another challenge of a believer, if you are understanding me, say amen. The way you are looking at me, you are making me scared. You know, teaching sessions are always, you prefer for us to keep on praying, right? Another challenge of a believer is discernment. Another believer cannot discern. The Bible said, but the natural man, in the book of 1 Corinthians 2:14, it said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Why? A natural man is somebody that is not born again. Is that true? A carnal man is somebody that is born again but is walking in the flesh. A spiritual man is one that is born again but is walking in the spirit. So the advantage of a spiritual man is what? Discernment. Why? Because a natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit because they are spiritually discerned. But a spiritual man is supposed to be able to receive the things of the spirit. Why? Because now he is spiritual. But the challenge of an average believer is that he cannot even discern. He doesn't know that discernment is part of his lot and portion. The Bible says that what is called as the gift of discernment of spirit. The Bible says, test all spirit. Why? Because angels are spirit. Is that true? Demons are spirit. God is spirit. You also have a spirit. God has spirit. Okay. How will you know which one is which? Discernment. If you cannot discern, you will not know when you encounter a demon and you call it an angel. I have friends then in Zaria. When we began to pray, fasting for long. That's why I don't advise people to fast for long if they cannot study for long and pray for long. You will collide with something in the spirit that you don't know. And discernment is one of the greatest tools you need in the realm of the spirit. Because in the realm of the spirit is the realm where all spirit lies. A man can pray. I know a friend of mine. We pray to a point. He began to encounter. I don't know what he's hearing. He will move and be picking prayer altar letter. You say a spirit says you should pick it. He say he put it in his pocket. You say a spirit says you should remove his shirt. He'll remove it and do like this. I said, this your own now has passed the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost doesn't lead like that. The problem is that you have encountered a false spirit and now you believe it's a divine spirit and it's making wreck of your life. In the realm of the spirit, you need the Holy Ghost as a tour guide. If the Holy Ghost cannot help you tour, you will be devil will deal with you. You need discernment. You must wear discernment as a garment. Wear discernment as a tool. An average believer in our today's society cannot discern. Discernment is key. You need discernment. The Bible speaks about Peter. Peter was moving everywhere preaching the gospel. A lady was moving with them. And the Bible says she has a spirit of divination. It took by the spirit for him to see and took her. If he cannot discern, that's how he will be moving with the devil and not even know. Without discernment, the devil don't have a long tail and a head and a horn. It's a lie. Sometimes demons, they look fine, but they look like angels. Some of them are white in color. There are angels that are black. So it's not only demons that are black. That mentality they gave you is Sunday school. Okay? All those Sunday school that they point devil that has a long tail and is black, it's a lie. Devil is not black with a long tail, please. Devil can be anything. Spirit are spirit. Their reality is only expressed. You don't define them by carnal parameters. They are just using something that can scare you to give you that. Is that okay now? The same when we were small, we thought that actor was Jesus Christ. Is it Mel Gibson or what's his name? So we put his picture in our house and we worship him. Until I saw him walking around the street of New York like this. I said, "Eh, is that Jesus?" He said, "No, he's an actor." I used to watch Jesus film and cry and discover he's an actor. So you now see how a man can be deceived. That's the same way that without discernment, you will be deceived in the spirit. The Bible says the carnal man can't know this thing because they are spiritually discerned. And discernment does not just end in knowing what is wrong and what is right. Discernment also is needed for you to be able to discern seasons and times. Because many of you don't know that according to scripture, to everything on the earth there is a time, a season, and a purpose for it. So for you to be able to discern your times and seasons, they are needed. Also, discernment is needed for you to understand the grace God gives you at every moment and every time. You need specific grace at every time to help lift you. Discernment will be needed for you to be able to know the grace you need at every time for lifting. Discernment is a key. And every believer cannot discern. Also, part of the challenge of the believer is lack of consistency. Inconsistency lies the power. You must remain and be willing not to stop. Get used to doing it every day. Get used to praying every day, fasting every day, loving Jesus every day. Make this thing a lifestyle. Why? Because the devil will do everything to ensure that you stop. One thing I know the devil always does is to force people to stop. Sometimes devil will do everything to make you not to continue in this journey. You must choose to remain and continue. And every believer start praying for just 1 year and say, "God doesn't answer prayer again." Why? The problem is simply because he's not consistent. But he has been consistent with the devil for the past 5 years. Lack of consistency is one of the challenges of a believer. There is no one today that God has given me a voice that have not been there for long. If I ask these ministers how long they have been praying, you'll be shocked. An average of them here, maybe 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 10 years. You just started for just 1 year, 2 years. Say, "God is not real. God is not faithful." Apostle, "But I've been praying for long." I ask the person, "How long?" Say, "Just for like 1 week." I say, "You are not serious. Go and keep on praying." Somebody will just text me and say, "Apostle, I just fasted and prayed for like 3 days. I didn't hear anything." 3 days? We fasted and prayed for a whole session. We didn't even see stars or moon. If it is God, you must be consistent. It's inconsistency that lies the power. You will remain there again and again and again. It's just like somebody that wants to learn how to play guitar. As he just did the first time, he said, "Kai, why is it bad like that?" He then went to keyboard. He pressed. "Why is it hard like that?" He went to drum. You remain there and do it again and again. It's inconsistency that is mastery. Inconsistency is where lies the power. Nobody become anything without being consistent in it. You must be consistent in it. Lack of consistency is one of the challenges of a believer. You start today, you stop tomorrow. Start today, you stop tomorrow. Start today, you stop tomorrow. No, we get perfect with time. You must be consistent. Another challenge of a believer is obedience. And every believer is not obedient. He's not obedient to God. And every believer doesn't obey God. He obey men, is good, but he doesn't obey God. When was the last time God spoke to you? When was the last time you obey him? Obedience is key. You must spend time obeying God. Many of us want to live a life of sacrifice, but obedience becomes better than sacrifice when the Lord demands of it. The Bible speaks about it, and when he speaks about Saul. Saul lost the crown. Why? Because of disobedience. Saul lost the crown. Why? Because of disobedience. If you observe very well, according to scripture, the Bible said that when God commanded Saul to do a thing, he went and disobeyed, and he wanted to replace disobedience with sacrifice. And according to scripture, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. So that means obedience becomes better than sacrifice when God demands of it. You must be obedient to God. And every believer does not obey God. He obeys men, You obey every kind of thing, but God is a challenge. And sometimes disobedience makes impartation a waste. Another challenge of a believer is addiction. Let's tell ourselves the truth. Many of us are allergic to all kinds of things. Please do your best to deal with it. Don't say that's how you are. That's not how you are. It's a lie. These are the things that make our journey in God useless. So you can be 5 years in the Lord, but for the five years, you masturbate every day. How do you intend God to prosper you? You can be 10 years in the Lord, but for the past 10 years, you are watching pornography, you are having sex every day, you are lying, you are stealing, you have anger. An average believer of today, I'm telling you the truth, forget the amount of tongues they speak. All kinds of addictions are in their life. Some of them are even homosexual. Some of them are even gay. Some of them are masturbators, fornicators, adults, all kinds of things. And you want God to prosper, you know, you must deal with it. The Lord told me, Philip, this is one of the challenges of a believer. If you can deal with it in your life, you are okay. Average pastors, average ministers today, sleeping around, messing around, all kinds of things. Been for a meeting with a pastor, see him watching pornography. Carry a pastor phone and see pornography there. Carry his phone and see the site he visited in the last 2 days. You'll be shocked. It's pornography site. And yet you want God to advance him. Why will God prosper you? You need God to help you. You don't need prosperity. You need help. Because if God opened that door for you, it will be shocked down. I was in abroad. You see, sometimes some of these things we do. There are places you go to, you see people walking naked. That they are naked doesn't mean you should fall. You should mind your own business. And the lady said, I should sleep with her. Are you the only one that has happened to in scripture? Lady called me, a man of God slept with me. I said, and so what? Didn't you sleep with him too? If you have any addiction, it's a challenge. Deal with it. Don't say you are not born like that. Deal with it. It's part of the challenge that make believers not to advance. You can listen to any of my message on how to break addiction to help you. Also, the last challenge of a believer is growing in impartation. An average believer today, the problem is not that he has not received impartation. They have received diverse impartation from diverse places, but the challenge is they have not learned how to grow in the impartation. Many people have been laid hands on by different men of God, yet again they have not learned how to grow in it. Sometimes we receive impartation, we leak it out. And how do you go in impartation? The next 2 minutes, number one, honor. Anytime you receive an impartation and you dishonor the grace that released the impartation, you will not grow. Number two, service. If you learn how to serve upon the grace upon which was impacted, you will grow. Number three, study. Say, till I come, give attention to reading, give attention to study. Even the anointing is preserved by study. Study. Many of you just collect impartation, you refuse to study, you refuse to read, you remain the way you are. The last thing to grow impartation is to spend time in the presence of God. Many of us never spend time in the presence of God. The presence of God is like the fertile ground that grow anything, any giftings, any talent, any ability. When a man that sings spend time with God, he begin to sing well. The man that preach spend time with God, begin to preach well. That's how it is. The presence of God is the fertile ground. The Bible says they grow from strength to strength. All of them that appear before God in Zion. That appearing happened in the presence of God. When you spend time in the presence of God, you can easily grow in an impartation. Very, very important. Also, be careful of your companies. Bad companies corrupt good manners. Don't spend time with bad company. It's very, very bad. Also, sin, leak out the impartation. Sometimes you can receive an impartation, but because of a carnality, a sin in your life, it keep on leaking out again and again. That is why sometimes immediately when you receive an impartation, when you go out there, you begin to sin. You become like nothing. The Bible is speaking in the book of Proverbs. It said, true, by the way of a worldish woman, a man is reduced to a piece of bread, and the adulterous is hunt for his precious life. That means when a man go into fornication, adultery, his life is reduced to nothing. Impartation and loss. Can you rise on your feet as you pray and ask the Lord and say, oh God, help me. I have stated so many challenges of the believers. I don't know which one is at work in your life. I don't know which one. I don't know whether you find it hard to obey God. I don't know whether you are not aligned to God. I don't know whether you have an addiction.
I don't know whether you are not consistent. I don't know whether you don't really fear God. I don't know whether you don't really love God. I don't know whether you really have a challenge with prayer. I don't know whether right now your challenge may just be that there are so much impactation upon your life, but all you have is dreams and vision and you have not grown them. Can you open your mouth right now and begin to cry and ask God and say, oh God, look upon me with the eyes of mercy and help. Look upon me with the eyes of mercy and help. Pray and ask the Lord to help you now. We are done. Ask the Lord, help me, oh God, that I may not be challenged in my day and time. Don't be part of the average believer. No. You can be different. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Shababanas, Varada Baskatia, Lutas Cavaradias Kata. Sababada Babura da Babala de Ascata Baladi like Escavedu Asca. Pray, pray, Patesco, Baladi Ascata. Sababababashka Batuda de Bascadia Dala. Baskabo, Baskabo,
Sapapanta Barata Patu,
Sababa,
Tebra Sapapanta Kupa Palapala Catabo. In Tebra Casa,
Sabababasca, Madabola, Dababola,
Pontapona, Capepena, Capapala, Tapata, Latapapo,
Sababala, Babasca, Madabala, Yascata, Father, help me, help me, help me, help me, oh God, help me, help me, oh God,
Tebra Casa, Panatapa, Tebra Cata, Rapapana, Tapapana, Tapapala, Tatato, in
Tacasa,
Tebros.
Before we pray for people generally, I always say it will not be good for us to do anything without giving you the opportunity to rededicate your life to Christ again. I know you are here, you are listening to me, wherever you are. The greatest miracle in this kingdom is not a car, a house, or anything. It's that you are sure that if you die today, you are going to heaven. Sometimes I'm flying. We came at night. They play, we do like this. I say, even if I die today, what's the worst thing? Heaven straight. Where are we going to later? Is it not heaven? Sometimes you are traveling on the road, you are afraid the car will crash. If anything happens, we are going to heaven. But if you are not sure that you are going to heaven today, as I'm preaching now, if the trumpet sound, if you know you are not sure, that's why we still give opportunity. Before we advance to pray for anybody for anything, please, if you are here, and you know that your way is not right with God, run to the front now. Forget about your neighbor. You see, you did not come here because of anybody. I'm telling you the truth. If you know you are here and you are not genuinely born again, and you are hearing my voice, and while I was speaking, the Lord convinced you that you should rededicate your life to God, please come here now. Don't be afraid, don't be ashamed. All this world will stand against you in the days of judgment. If you are here, it doesn't matter. Peradventure, you used to be on fire for God. You used to love God before, but now you have seen, you are backslidden. All kinds of things have happened. You don't even know how their life, you don't even know what happened in your life. See, please, you are the reason why this program is organized. You are the reason why all of this is being done. Come here, don't be ashamed. Forget about your neighbor. I rather die alone and go to heaven than to live a life and gain everything on the earth. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You may be a pastor, it doesn't matter. Pastor to sin, pastor to you go to hell. What will shock people is to discover that on the last day, Jesus Christ will say, depart away from me, ye workers of iniquity. You might have spoken in tongues, you might have preached to other people, you might have led other people to Christ, but yet again, you cannot save your soul. If you cannot save another person, save yourself, at least save yourself. Many of you are still in the congregation. I'm telling you, this may be your last chance. Come here right now. I want to lead you to Christ before I pray for you. Run here fast. Run. Stop walking. Run. God is not your mate. You are living a sinful life. You are living a carnal life.
people bigger than you die, people healthier than you die, people richer than you die. It's not the thing to put fear on you, but let me tell you, you need Jesus. You need him more than you can ever imagine. You don't need a miracle. Try and ask God to help you. This is the greatest miracle ever. Try and ask God to help you. Your life will never remain the same, I assure you. Everybody start from this. Everybody, don't be ashamed. Forget about that your neighbor and come and cry. Forget about that your boyfriend or girlfriend and come and cry. Ask God for grace. Ask him for strength. Say, Father, have mercy upon me. Confess that sin. Confess it. Say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Do you truly love God? It's not about ministry. It's not about school. It's not about academy. No, it's about your love for Jesus. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He came for you. Ask the Lord to help you. Church, can you stretch out your hand towards them, please? Shekinah, stretch out your hand towards them. This is the greatest miracle ever. Pray for them that God should keep them, that they should not backslide again. They are not bad people, they are good people. Let me tell you, see this as Jesus Christ coming to you. Being born again is the greatest thing ever. Is being a friend of Jesus. Now you are being his friend. He loves you. He loves you. Everybody was a sinner. Everybody. I was drinking, I was smoking before. But this is where I started. Jesus came for me. He's coming for you this night. Pray, say, have mercy upon me. Give me the strength not to sin again. I love you, Jesus. Jesus, I love you. I love you. You will see your life change like never before. Can you say this prayer after me? Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Say it loud and believe it. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I believe in you today. I believe that your son came and lived and died for my sake. Today, I receive eternal life into my spirit. Today, I am born again. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, sanctify me, purify me, forgive me my sins. Give me the grace not to sin again. Give me the grace not to fall again. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. The Lord bless you. Father, I pray that you keep them. I pray that you strengthen them. I pray that you empower them. Receive them in the name of Jesus. And I ask that may you be preserved by Jesus. From today you are blessed. From today you are lifted. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen and amen. You can just follow straight here. Somebody is just going to take your details so that I can be praying for you. Please, head of counseling. Please see them briefly. Can you lift up your hands and begin to pray right now? Please lift up your hands and begin to pray. After salvation, what you need is an empowerment. Ask the Lord to help you. Pray, pray. You don't need an encouragement. Pray. Please, if you are sick in your body, if you want any special case of ministration, come to the front here. If you are sick in your body, you have any terminal issue, you have any disease in your body, you have something that is a doctor report, you are looking for a child, you have something, just come to the front here. Run fast. You want to stand in for your mother, your father, your brother, run here fast. The rest of you, be praying. If you know you are sick in your body, come here. Lord Jesus will help you. You are in the presence of God, not the presence of a man. We are joining faith together with you to pray for you. That sickness must go. That miracle must come.
Jesus. Every single
Jesus, I pray for you by the power of the Spirit. It doesn't matter whatsoever sickness, infirmity, doctor's report. I change it right now in the name of Jesus. I decree and I declare over your life, every pain be gone now in the name of Jesus. I decree, let there be a miracle for you in the name of Jesus. Let that wound be open. Let that pain be gone. That demon of pressure, let it be gone right now in the name of Jesus. I ask by the power of the Spirit, every kind of oppression, every kind of sickness, I say be healed right now in the name of Jesus. You are healed and you are delivered in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Go and check yourself and come and testify. If you are here, you desire the grace of God upon your life. I don't know whether you can do that briefly. If you want the grace of God upon your life, rush here to the front. Right now, we are done. If you desire the grace of God, the ministers will join you together and just pray with you. Rush fast. If you desire the grace of God upon your life, another empowering, rush fast, run fast. Jesus, let's pray for them. Empowerment. Matthias, come here.
Carry the fire of God. 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 getting more. Hey, hey,
upon your spirit. May your spirit carry God. May you become a custodian of the dimensions of the power and the grace of God. I release the strength of God upon you right now. Let there be a burden within you. Let the fire of God rest upon you right now. Right now, right now, right now. Let the hand of the Lord rest upon you mightily, mightily. Yes.
By fire.
You are empowered by grace. You are empowered by grace. Lift up your hands in the congregations and declare over you. Those that can make it back, can make it back. The ones under the anointing, just let them be. If you can return back to your seat as I declare finally on you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray over you by the strength and the power of the Lord and the grace of God upon this atmosphere. I decree and I declare from today your life is covered in the name of Jesus. I empower you by the grace of Jesus. As many of you that are depending upon the Lord for a miracle, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I decree and I declare, let there be a testimony over your life in the name of Jesus. I pray for you from today. Let the presence and power of the Lord remain with you in the name of Jesus. As many of you that are oppressed and tormented, let that power over your life be broken in the name of Jesus. I decree over you, none of you shall die. May the hand of the Lord keep and preserve you in the name of Jesus. I pray upon your academics. As many of you that are either writing an exams or trusting the Lord for a miracle, by the power of the Spirit, I say from today, go and begin to succeed in the name of Jesus. For exams. May the result you have never gotten before, may you get it in this session in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. Many of you are having carryover, missing skills, lack of understanding, lack of comprehension. There is an anointing for excellence in the name of Jesus. Let that anointing rest upon you in the name of Jesus. I pray upon your finances. Many of you love God, but you can compromise because there is no finances. By the power of the name of Jesus, every spirit of poverty is broken over your life in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that from today, let men and women favor you in the name of Jesus. Let men and women honor you in the name of Jesus. I pray none of you shall die from today in the name of Jesus. I release the grace of the Lord upon you, an anointing of the Lord that causes excellence, that causes performance, that causes manifestations, an anointing that activates you into your calling in the name of Jesus. I release it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for you. All that concerns you is blessed. All that concerns you is blessed. From today, by the power and the authority of the Christ, I pray even for your family. I shift into this season in the name of Jesus. There are many of you here that you have lost giftings and ability, graces that you have left before. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a restoration for you right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that from today, as many of you that cannot sleep at night, you are being oppressed by a demon, oppressed by a strange woman, oppressed by a strange man, let that power be broken over your life in the name of Jesus. Every womb that has been closed, I unlock it right now in the name of Jesus. Every sickness and disease, I repeat it right now in the name of Jesus. Every doctor report, I change it right now in the name of Jesus. Every authority of darkness, I break it right now in the name of Jesus. From today, I open doors for you. If one door closed, let another be opened in the name of Jesus. We are blessed. We are preserved. In Jesus, mighty name we pray. Give the Lord a shout. Give the Lord a shout. So sorry for taking so much of your time. On behalf of the entire leadership of Shekinah Network International, we say thank you so much for coming around.
You have been listening to Apostle Philip Cephas of Shekinah Network International, sent with a mandate to raise believers built up in prayer international faith. You can get our messages at www.philipsephers.com, and you can follow us online via our Facebook, Instagram, Telegram, and Twitter, all at Shekinah Network International. Remember, God loves you.